Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to our broadcast. As you have already found out by my voice, this is not Pastor Al Davis. He is not available today to be here, and so I'm filling in for him. My name is John Lutz. I was on the show preceding this one, and thankful that you've tuned back in as we're going to continue on in our study. And we, by the way, I do want to make mention, we are not taking phone calls during this broadcast today, and so we're just going to do the teaching out of God's Word here. And so I just want to make you aware of that. Well, we started the first half hour talking about the knots of marriage and kind of springing off this idea of, tying the knot, being married. And we talked a little bit about marriage and some of the foundational things, how important it is, God's design for it, and how important it is to make sure that it's secure in the areas that it's supposed to be. And so we're going to look at now in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, that's where we're at today. We're going to look at the six principles that the six knots that need to be tied securely in your marriage. And so it'll be effective. It'll be glorifying. It'll be better than anything you have ever experienced here on this earth. And, you know, I believe wholeheartedly God designed the home, the marriage, the family to be a piece of heaven on this earth. And it can be. And I promise you, if you apply these six principles here, we're going to study in just one moment here, it will be, because God is faithful and his word is true. You just got to apply it. Well, let's go in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 1. It says, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." Well, I'll tell you, we live in a society today where everybody is so touchy-feely. And, you know, it really bothers me when I see, specifically even in churches, you see older men hugging these younger women. You see people hugging people who aren't their wives, aren't their husbands. And, you know, the power of the human touch is, I mean, it is so powerful. Think about this for a moment. I had a friend of mine, we were talking about this years ago, and I still remember him talking about the power of touch. And think about it this way. Let's say you have a child who is just acting, you know, out of sorts and just rambunctious and having trouble sitting down. And many times you can walk up to that child and you just put their hand on their shoulder. You put your hand on their arm and you try to talk to them. And it's amazing how the power of that touch can settle somebody down. And just, I'm not talking about abusing or grabbing. I'm talking about, let's say, here, have a seat, and you put your hand on their shoulder, and you begin to talk to them. And the power of that touch gets people to stop. And, you know, among churches, there shouldn't be touching going on of other people's spouses. You say, well, that's kind of just really, unfriendly and unkind. You call it what you want. But I'm going to tell you right now, as a young man, before I ever got married, as a young teenage boy, when a girl brushed up against you, or a girl talked to you, or a girl touched you, man, I'll tell you what, you got excited. Maybe she likes me. Maybe, oh boy, you start thinking about her. You get concerned about it. You think that changes when you get older? I mean, we still have lust that goes on in our hearts. And if it's not constrained and restrained, boy, I'll tell you, it'll go nowhere, or it'll go places you don't want it to go to. And he says right here, don't touch another woman. If you're a married man, you have no business touching another woman in the church. And I tell you, we had an older guy come into our church, and I tell you, I got a little nervous about him because it just seemed like he was hugging all the women around the church. And I looked at him, I said, "Don't think you're hugging my wife at all, because you're not touching her. She's my wife." And I'll tell you, that's my wife appreciated that. My wife likes that, because she knows that I don't want anyone touching her. And so she trusts me that I'm not going out touching other people. I hold myself accountable to that. But in the marriage today, we've become some to the point where, you know, we've kind of let our guard down in that way. And Paul says, it's not good for a man not to touch a woman. So desire not another than your spouse. And I tell you, that's a hard one, because you've got so much marketing of individuals going on in our world today, to television, you know, even on the radio, the billboards going down the road. There's all kinds of visual things that take place. And you've got to get to the point where you desire not anybody else but your spouse. You say, well, what happens when a thought comes into my mind? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought under the obedience of Christ. You see a woman who you would deem beautiful, who's not your wife, and you look at her, and all of a sudden you have an impure thought. What do? You cast it down. You say, oh, my wife. You don't allow that to get into a desire. And you don't do that. And by the way, that's why you need to be careful how you dress when you go to church. You know, it's summertime. It's spring, summertime. We got to start having that conversation with our people. Isn't it amazing? You have to tell people to dress properly when they come to church. I remember stories hearing preachers come by and say, you know, there used to be a day when somebody walked by a church, they'd take their hat off because they so reverenced the church building. Now, people come in dressed scantily. They dress just improperly, both men and women. And it causes people to desire and causes people to have thoughts. And they don't do anything with those thoughts but continue to turn them into imaginations. And all of a sudden, they've already committed adultery in their heart, even though they haven't physically done the thing. And that's where they've gotten to. And that's why Jesus said adultery, spiritually speaking, is a heart issue. And those who look to lust after a woman have already committed adultery in their heart. It's about desire. So you got to get to a point where you don't desire anybody else but your spouse. If you find yourself right now desiring somebody else other than your spouse, cut off any contact you have with them. Cut off any communication you have with them. You say, well, how will they feel? Who cares? They're not your spouse. Cut them off. Don't desire somebody else. Don't desire to touch somebody else. And that's one of the knots that has to be secure in your marriage. Now, there's a second one. The second one is found in verse number 3. By the way, verse 2 says, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman her own husband. See, that's where teaching leads to. It usually leads to, you know, rendezvous and places that they should never be and never happen. And that's what you have a spouse for. And if you keep the physical side of marriage within the marriage, you'll never violate that marriage in that sense. But it goes on to say, number 3, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband's hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Here's the second knot that needs to be in your marriage. Discourage not. I'm telling you, the most important word that I believe God has shown me personally in the last 5 years, 6 years, whenever we did this study, is this word benevolence. Most people do not understand what the word benevolent means. And most people approach their marriage and get their marriage to a point where they're more concerned about their own happiness than they are about, one, God's happiness, but also their spouse's happiness. See, God is a benevolent God. The word benevolent simply means kindness accompanied with it, listen, with a desire to promote somebody else's happiness. Think about this. You get up every morning and you start thinking about what's going to make my spouse happy today. Your day will be a little different because your actions and your thought processes will not be about yourself and your own gratification. It will be about the promotion of somebody else's happiness, your spouse. You know what I have found out? When my spouse is happy, my life is much happier. And Paul says here, let the husband, see, he has to take the lead on this. I'm so tired. I don't let, in our men's Bible study, our men are not allowed to complain about their wives. They're not allowed to speak ill of their wives. They're not allowed to talk bad about their wives, because that is a disgrace. If you talk ill about your spouse, You need to love your spouse. You need to be kind to your spouse. You need to be benevolent, more concerned about their happiness than your own. The Bible tells us to let us esteem others better than ourselves. So isn't that what the Lord did? The Lord is benevolent because he looked at his own life and he said, you know what? I got to go through this cruel suffering and death, but I love them and I know that my death, burial, and resurrection is going to be promoting their happiness because salvation will be made available to them. Don't discourage one another. Man, that's a miserable existence, miserable time. Look to be benevolent towards one another. Promote one another's happiness. You let yourself be discouraged. You put yourself behind God and your spouse. And then you'll see how encouraged you will be and a lot less discouragement will come to your life. So the second knot is discourage not. So you have desire not. You have discouraged not. Now look at this one. Verse 5. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye give yourself to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. This is obviously talking about the physical side of it. And the physical side is so important that you ought not to have lapses in the physical side. Now, there are God-given things that happen during times of month and times of seasons of need to withhold one another from each other for the time of fasting and prayer. And those are important spiritual times in your life. But the longer you go without physical intimacy with your spouse, the greater temptation is going to come along in tempting you to do things that are absolutely against the marriage covenant. You need to defraud not one another. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, my own personal experiences that I've had over the last 11 and a half years of ministry, there's a lot of people that live one life when they're alone and they live one life with their spouse. They live one life online and they live one life in person. That's called hypocrisy. And so listen, I heard a preacher say this that I was watching online. He said, what would you think about me if I pulled my phone out and I started scanning through it and there's a picture of a woman there who's not my wife. And you would say, that was my girlfriend from 20 years ago from high school. You know, I don't have anything to do with her anymore. And then you kept flipping through and there's another picture of another woman. And all of a sudden you'd say, your son would come up and say, well, who's that, Dad? Well, that's a girlfriend I had in high school. But you know, I don't have anything to do with her anymore. And eventually you got to the picture of your wife and, oh, there's mom there. You'd begin to ask yourself, well, what in the world do you need those pictures of former girlfriends for if you're married now? See, the appearance of evil is now present, and now there is suspect to questionable activity. And that Bible tells us, abstain from all appearance of evil. But I wonder how many of you have Facebook accounts that you have former boyfriends or girlfriends on there, flames, that you're checking up on their lives, you want to know what's going on. And the worst part, your spouse has no knowledge that you're doing it. That ought not to be named among Christianity. That's defrauding one another. That's withholding one another from what is due. And so that has destroyed many. I know four marriages that have been destroyed because of social media, because of Facebook. One of them looked up their old high school flame from 30 years ago, decided they were going to leave their current husband to go down and meet their flame, and went down there to their flame, and now they're married. You say, well, as long as she's happy. No, she did wrong. She violated the marriage covenant. It doesn't matter if she's happy or not. She did what was wrong. And she withheld that which was due to her husband. And now she was living a double life. And double lives are killing Christians today. And so don't defraud one another. Don't withhold one another. Don't give your affections and your attention, your emotions to somebody who is not your spouse. Don't defraud one another. And by all means, protect yourself on social media. I love the fact we have some missionary friends that they have joint accounts. So their husbands and wives are on together. They have rules in place. They only go on and they together and they do those things. That's a great principle. That's a great tool if you're going to use that form of media. But if you don't have discipline, you don't have rules and guidelines set, you're headed for failure. because a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And there's a lot of fools on Facebook. There's a lot of fools on Instagram. There's a lot of fools on Pinterest. There's a lot of fools. And you say, preacher, how do you know all that? Because I have teenage girls and I have to teach them. I don't want to isolate them from the way the world is going, but I want to teach them the proper way to use those things in how they can use those things in a positive light, in a positive way. Because not everything about it is bad. My wife, through Facebook, found out she had biological, my wife's adopted. She found her biological family who lives in Indiana. She found, we've been over to visit them and see her brothers and her sisters. So there's been some good things that have happened and taken place with that. But the majority of things that goes on, people go trolling from one site to the next site because they want to find out, well, I wonder what so-and-so is doing. Don't think that thought came from God, because the Bible says in the last days, there's going to be busybodies in other people's matters. And that's the Athenians sat around. They just wanted to know everything new that was coming out and what was going on in people's lives. And that's where we're at, people. And you've got to look at your marriage and say, you know, I've got to be open and honest and forthwith with my spouse about everything. And you can't defraud one another. So far we've learned you can't desire somebody else other than your spouse. You can't allow yourself to go down that road. You don't discourage one another. You try to encourage through benevolence, promoting one another's happiness. You don't defraud one another the blessings of physical intimacy one to another. You know, women use this a lot. They get mad at their husband. And they say, well, that's it. We're not going to do anything here. That's dangerous. I'm not saying that there aren't times for that to happen and there aren't greater things. That's very dangerous to do, especially if anger is ruling in the home, you're headed for trouble. Don't defraud one another. Here's another one. Let's go quickly to verse 10. Paul says, and unto the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband, But if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. So here's the fourth one. Depart not from one another. Now, Paul is very clear in this case about this issue of departing. All right, he goes on verse 12, but to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, see, that's the key. And she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. Here it is. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. What does that mean? That means the only person that's allowed to depart a marriage is an unsaved person who doesn't want to live with their saved spouse. So if you're listening to me today and you are saved and your spouse is saved, there is never a time for you to depart permanently from the marriage. Now, there may be a time to separate, but the purpose of separation is always for the purpose of reconciliation. Verse 11, or be reconciled to her husband. Reconciliation is the only purpose of separation. That's why you separate, for the purpose of reconciliation. Don't depart. Don't let yourself get in this mindset, well, my husband, you know, my wife, whatever it is, that it'd be better for me to leave. No, it wouldn't. And Paul says, the Lord says, don't do it. And he even backs it up and says, now, if it's an unbelieving spouse, all right, fine, you're not under bondage, but he has to be an unbelieving spouse or an unbelieving husband or unbelieving wife. See, you don't allow yourself to get in this mind frame that, well, if I just go away, everything will be fine. No, it won't. Don't depart. Weaklings depart. Those who are strong in the faith, those who want God's will for their life, they're not going to depart. They're going to stay in it for the long haul, even if it's rough seas and rough times. Don't depart. In fact, he says there, let not the wife depart. And it's talking about the husband. Don't let the husband put away his wife. And so don't depart. And then there's a fifth one. If we go all the way over to verse 25, and for the sake of time, we're just cutting through some of these. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that have obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose therefore that this is good for the present distress. I say it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. This is talking about divorce not. It is frightening how many divorces, how many Christians talk about divorce today. It ought not to be in our vocabulary. You ought not to, divorce is not on the table for Christian people. Yet, if you go by the way of the world, well, you know, it doesn't matter. We're not going to work things out. That's a coward and loser's attitude. That's a person that lacks faith in God's word and God's ability. You know, there is, if you were to ask, I asked our church this, I don't know, a month and a half ago. I said, what is the only reason God allows divorce? And just about everybody said the same thing, adultery. That is not what God said. Jesus said, for the hardness of thine heart, Moses gave thee a writing bill of divorcement, but from the beginning it was not so. It was the hardness of heart. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Jeremiah, I think it is, I don't know if I wrote it down, Jeremiah 3, it says that God gave a writing bill of divorcement to the nation of Israel, and it was for all of the adulteries that she had committed against him. Let me see if I can find it here very quickly. It says, and I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. The implication is here. Okay, somebody commits adultery. Somebody commits fornication. Somebody commits something that is very grievous, obviously, to the marriage bed. Is there any sin that cannot be forgiven? See, God put the writing bill of divorcement because Israel's heart was hard. They wouldn't repent. They wouldn't turn back to the truth. And so God allowed that to take place, and God wrote the divorce. He says, that's it. But what happened when Israel repented? What happened when Judah repented? God took them back. Reconciliation. It was for the hardness of heart. So you and I as Christians, we can't allow our hearts to get hard. Oh, it hurts. It hurts, and if it hurts enough and gets cut up enough, calluses will develop. And calluses, of course, there's no feeling in the callus. But you got to be careful that doesn't happen, because if we forgive not men their trespasses, our Father in heaven will not forgive us our trespasses. And that's talking to Christians. That's not a salvation verse. That's talking about Christians and practicing your Christian faith. Don't allow divorce into the equation. Because that is the easy way out. I'm not trying to hurt you if you're divorced. I'm not trying to be caustic. I'm trying to teach you the principles. I've met many a man or woman who have been divorced and they don't want their children to go down the same road that they have because there's much hurt and pain. Because how do you separate one person but cutting them in half? Don't divorce. And lastly, distract not each other from doing God's will. Verse 35. It says, and this I speak for your own profit, that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Don't distract one another from doing God's will. Don't get so happy in your marriage that you think you need to skip church for a Sunday morning. That's ludicrous. That's foolishness. Just because things are happy doesn't mean you stop serving the Lord. And if you want to go off and frolic and do things that aren't biblical and aren't right, don't make somebody else do it. Don't distract somebody else from doing what God wants them to do in their life. That is sinful. That is satanic. That is wicked. And that's a dangerous place to get to. And so what do? You don't distract. In fact, you want to do it together. The knots of marriage. Tie them tightly. I'm telling you, your marriage will be what God wants it to be. Now, thank you for listening. I know we went through these very quickly, but I appreciate you listening. If you have any questions about these, give us a call. Again, 521-3800, or go to northcoastbaptist.org, send us an email. All of Pastor Al's information is coming up tonight, so grab a pencil. If you're interested in going to Richfield Bible Baptist Church, all of that is available as well. Thanks for listening. Have a great afternoon.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.